The Daily Dribble. Welcome back to the Daily Dribble podcast, guys. As always, I'm your host, Nick Zammit. We're back for another massive episode after what's been an absolutely barnstorming week across both the NBA and the NBL. Except for a big show. Now, guys, as you know, if you're a hardcore NBA fan, you often know that by about this point of the season, the games start to drop off in intensity. A lot of the storylines, a lot of the standings, for the most part, are essentially wrapped up. That is certainly not the case this season. As we enter the home stretch of the regular season with about 20 games or so to go for most of the teams, there's still a multitude of exciting storylines still set to play out. This week, I thought I'd kind of take that opportunity to shine a little bit of a light on some of these regarding players, regarding teams, and just, shine a bit of a light on some of the things that you should take note of across the last couple of weeks of the regular season. Before we do so, though, I just wanted to shout out both the cover and stadium scene, both those networks continuing to do tremendous things for me here at the Daily Dribble in regards to showcasing all the work that I do. Very, very appreciative of all their continued hard work and support of me over here at the Daily Dribble. And as always, a big shout out to you guys, continuing to stay up to date with all of the socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok, ensuring you're getting all the latest news from both the NBA and the NBL as that reaches its crescendo at the moment. The semifinals are currently taking place, Melbourne and Illawarra and Perth and the Jack Jumpers in the other matchup there. Certainly an exciting time there. So continue to stay up to date with those socials to get all the latest news there as it breaks. Let's not stand on ceremony any longer. Let's get into some very quick odds and ends, starting first and foremost with the news that Russell Westbrook has undergone surgery on his fractured left hand. That happened at the start of last week. The hope is with that one that he'll return in time for the start of the playoffs. Now, he's averaged 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in his role off the bench this season, and he has been a huge, huge factor as to why their bench production is so good. Certainly looking to get him back as soon as possible. As an entertainer, I think he still must watch TV, even as he enters the back nine of his career. Certainly don't want to say the Clippers do well as a Lakers fan, but nevertheless, hope to see Westbrook back as soon as possible there. Andrew Wiggins from the Warriors has set to return after tending to a serious family matter during the week. This is kind of quite timely, given the fact that Chris Paul's recently just returned as well. They currently sit ninth in the Western Conference. They'll be hoping to put a really big late push in, trying to potentially move up to a guaranteed playoff spot. If not, hopefully a 7th to 8th finish at the least, just to ensure they get that double opportunity in the play-in tournament. As good as that news was, doesn't bode well with recent news just in the last couple of days that Steph Curry will miss a little bit of time there with a right ankle sprain. The hope with this one is that, well, there's optimism, should I say, that absence won't be too long. Hoping a couple of games, we'll assess it in about a week or so. But again, they'll be certainly hoping that it's no more severe than that. They've certainly been rolling as of late. They're just finding a better consistency. I think Jonathan Kuminga has been tremendous as of late. Quite enjoyed seeing Klay Thompson in that second unit, just being able to ensure that scoring continues to tick over. But he's hoping Steph can come back as soon as possible there. A little bit of Aussie flavour. Patty Mills signed with the Miami Heat during the week. 35 years of age. I was almost selfishly hoping that he might transition to the NBL. As I said, 35, entering the latter stages of his career. With the way his game's based, there's no reason why he couldn't go on and still be a valuable contributor for the next couple of years. As I said, NBL would have been phenomenal. Didn't play out that way, but will join the Heat in what I think is quite a handy move. Again, kind of as I just mentioned and alluded to about Clay continuing to tick the offense over there, you know, coming off the bench for the Warriors, Patty Mills, again, a lights-out three-point shooter, will certainly be able to provide a bit of benefit, I think, for that Heat team. As well, just another guy that probably epitomizes Heat culture there. Being from Australia, he's certainly no slouch to hard work, Patty Mills there. So I think a very, very tidy pickup for the Miami Heat on that one. Two-time All-Star Isaiah Thomas is still in pursuit of an NBA return down the stretch of his career. is set to join the Utah Jazz G League affiliate team, the Salt Lake City Stars there, already played a game, and it was quite an impressive game at that. In his debut the other day, he dropped 32 points, 4 assists, went 7 of 23 from the field, 5 of 17 from 3, but it coincided with a win there. So, again, another player somewhat like Patty Mills. He was down here in Australia over the last couple of weeks. He said that if he came to the NBL, he would be MVP of the league. Now, he certainly believes he's still got plenty left in the tank there. I believe he does too. I don't know about that call of being MVP. I don't think he's quite aware of how talented the league is now. But nevertheless, would certainly love to see him back in the NBA to have one more crack at it. I think he could still be a valuable part of any roster moving forward. Kind of forget that he was an MVP candidate, you know, not that long ago. So would love to see him back in the league as well. We knew it was only a matter of time. Ben Simmons is now out for the remainder of the season. Whilst he consults with specialists and explores treatment options for the nerve impingement in his lower back. Now, this injury certainly has plagued him quite a bit over the season. Over the last couple of seasons, should I say. Over the last three seasons, he's played 57 games, Ben Simmons, whilst missing 114. Now, it is such a shame because when he's healthy, he's such a gifted point guard. His ability to read the play and actually find passes is second to none. But we just haven't seen him on the court enough. And until that time, I believe seeing is believing. I have lost pretty well all faith in him until I can actually see some consistent court time, that is. You know, I've lost a lot of faith. I think it could be time to come home to the NBL. Now, I've spoken about that a bit over the last couple of players, the NBL tie-in. But for a player like Simmons, where his body's failing him quite a lot at the moment, coming to the NBL where the schedule is nowhere near as vigorous, I think would be nothing but advantageous for him. It would be great for the league. It would be great for him to play in front of home fans. Certainly something I think he should explore. I know he's still in the prime of his career. Certainly with the injuries, doesn't feel like his prime. But it's certainly an option worth exploring there for Simmons, I believe. In other injury news, Cleveland Cavaliers forward Evan Mobley is likely to miss extended time with a sprained left ankle. A little bit more severe there than Steph Curry's. Had a phenomenal season in his own right, averaging 15.5 points, 10 rebounds and 3 assists. Certainly going to play a big role in their push for a big postseason run once he returns. Again, they'll be hoping that as soon as possible because he has been cash money this year. Super, super exciting to watch. And he's going to form a huge part of their core moving forward over the next 5 to 10 years. He's hoping for a speedy return for Mobley because with him healthy, a healthy Spider Mitchell, healthy Darius Garland, Jared Allen there, there's a lot to like about this Cavs team, and I think a team that could certainly cause some headaches and problems to some of the heavy hitters within the Eastern Conference there. In not so good news for Pacers guard Benedict Mathurin, he's going to undergo season-ending surgery on a torn right labrum there. This is a big blow for them. He's been, I think, probably one of the most underrated players in the league this season. He's averaged 14.5 points, but does it in the flow of the offense, does it without needing the ball too much, can control that second unit, especially with acquisitions like Siakam coming in. His role's diminished a little bit. But nevertheless, he certainly makes the most of every moment he's got on the court. Real shame to see him go down. He's expected to make a full recovery for the 2024-2025 season. But nevertheless, a big blow in their aspirations for a deep push this year, I think, for the Pacers. They've been on a little bit of a downwards turn as of late, but certainly there's still optimism that they, again, kind of like the Cavs, probably to a slightly lesser extent, but cause some headaches there in the Eastern Conference. They've dipped down to eighth as it currently sits with a 35-29 record. You know, they're only a couple of games back of a potential home court series there, but with the way momentum's currently carrying them, it's not looking too positive there in Indiana. Finally, on odds and ends there, guys, another injury, bit of news out of the Timberwolves camp. Karl Anthony Towns has suffered a left meniscus injury. As it currently stands, there's not too much clarity about how long he will be set to miss. They're working on currently getting a full understanding about its severity and what a return to action will look like. A big, big blow there, though, for the Wolves. Cats averaged 22 points, 8.5 rebounds, 3 assists this season, and it's been a huge factor as to why the Wolves have been such a prominent force within the Western Conference this season. They would understandably be hoping to get him back as soon as possible as they prepare for what's probably, I don't think personally it'll be a deep postseason run, but given, you know, given their standings, given the way things have played out thus far, they'd be certainly hoping to make some waves this season. But to do so, I think they'll certainly need Cat back as soon as possible. Guys, there concludes odds and ends for another week. Let's push ahead. The Daily Dribble. Okay, as I said at the top of the show, I wanted to take this opportunity this week just to showcase some of the most exciting storylines still to play out over the course of the last couple of weeks of the regular season. Now, as I alluded to, most of the teams have roughly give or take 20 games to go. I think it's going to be a must-watch 20 games, and I've got 4 reasons as to why you should be watching them. I've put up 3 fingers there. That was meant to be 4. Let's try that one. 4 fingers. There we go. 4 exciting storylines still to play out. Guys, as always, would love to hear what you think of these, whether you're on board with what I've got to say, or if you have any of your own, please hit me up on the socials. Again, another phenomenal week, having a heap of exciting and engaging conversations with you guys. So hit me up, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, on any of the socials to talk basketball. Would love to hear what storylines you guys are excited for. Okay, let's start firstly with the battle for the 1 seed in the West. Now, today recording as a Sunday, I did most of these notes around Wednesday, Thursday, a little bit Friday. So as is with the NBA, it's forever changing. Some of these standings, some of these points might have changed slightly, but you'll certainly get the gist of what I'm saying. As I said, the battle for the 1 seed in the West, as it currently sits, the Wolves are currently leading the charge. Now, this is probably the tightest race in recent memory, I think. OKC have just jumped them, followed by the Wolves. The Nuggets and Clippers there are knocking on the door as well. But in terms of this race, I'm going to back in the Thunder at the moment. Now, with the Wolves losing Cat, I think that might hinder them quite a bit. He has been such a focal point for them this season. A lot's going to be relying on Rudy Gobert stepping up on both ends of the court, and has been phenomenal, I think. Arguably one of the most improved players in the league this season. He's elevated himself to superstar status, I believe. That being said, losing a player at the caliber of Karl Towns, I think, is going to hinder them. But the Nuggets, whilst I don't think they'll be quite as worried about the 1 seed, I think wherever they finish, they'll believe that they can actually make a deep run at it. They probably won't put, you know, the whole house in terms of going for that 1 seed. Whilst for the Clippers, they're a little bit further back there. Would need a big last home stretch run to actually clinch that 1 seed. Certainly not outside the realms of possibility. But just with the way their offense has been as of late, Westbrook going down, don't have quite as much faith in them. So therefore, I'm going to go with the Thunder to clinch the 1 seed. Again, though, every game for those 4 teams is going to matter at the moment. At the moment, as of writing, there's 2.5 games separating 1 to 4 and only 1 game between the top 3. So as I said, with, you know, a tick under 20 games to go, every game counts. Would love to hear from you guys who you think will clinch the 1 seed. I'm rocking with the Thunder just because of how I think they're intent on probably making a statement, as has been the case that I've said quite extensively. They're a team that's going to be built for the next 5 to 10 years. Not only that, they're a team built for now, as we've seen this season, and I think they'll be quite intent on actually making that a statement. Finishing the 1 seed is a great way in doing so. Should they make a deep run, having that home court advantage for a young and an inexperienced team would certainly be advantageous as well. So I've got the Thunder there. Super excited to see how it plays out, though. And again, it just makes every game really super exciting. Across the course of an 82-game season, energy and enthusiasm can sometimes wax and wane. Not the last 20, I don't believe. Secondly, second storyline that I'm super excited for is the MVP race. Now, again, somewhat like the Western Conference standings there, I think this is one of the most exciting MVP races in recent times. The top three favourites at the minute are Nikola Jokic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Luka Doncic, with Giannis and Jason Tatum there hanging around the outskirts. Whilst Jokic is doing phenomenal things there for the Nuggets, putting up insane numbers once again, it's something we've almost become accustomed to just because he is that good. Likewise, Luka's putting up absurd numbers in his own right. I think the Mavs standing will probably hurt him in that regard. Again, I've got to run with the Thunder. I've got to run with SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. If they can wrap up the one seed, that's going to be a big, 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 big tick in his column. Currently averaging 31 points, 5.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, and 2 steals per game. Incredible season. And a big part of the MVP is storyline. Storyline and narrative. If he can lead this team that nobody gave too much thought to this season, to a one seed, that is certainly a compelling argument to make. So, again, I've got to run with the Thunder theme there. I'm running with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the MVP award. Incredible to think, you know, how that played out with his switch over from the Clippers to the Thunder. Might be one of the most lopsided trades in NBA history. But, yeah, not aging very well there for the Clippers, should I say. Thirdly, let's move ahead. Heading out to the Eastern Conference, my third storyline is, can Orlando clinch home court advantage? Now, they've certainly been one of the surprise teams across the league this season. They currently sit, well, as the time of writing, they were fourth. They've since dropped down to fifth, half a game back of the Knicks there. In a very congested middle part of the Eastern Conference, they're just ahead of the Heat, 76ers and Pacers there, just behind the Knicks. I'm super excited to see what they can do, regardless, though, of what happens across the last 20 games, regardless of what happens in the postseason. It's been a very, very successful season for the Magic, I believe. Again, not only in terms of standings, in terms of surpassing everyone's expectations, but also in the development of key young personnel there, namely Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, along with a whole host of others. Again, somewhat like the Thunder, they've got a really exciting young core to build for the next 5 to 10 years, who are just continuing to elevate their game. Key for them was just making the playoffs, getting some reps in, taking their lumps, taking their lashes, as every team has to across the course of building for a championship. This is their opportunity this year. Certainly don't believe they're going to make an NBA Finals or a Conference Finals, but actually being, you know, showcased in a playoff environment, I think it's going to be nothing but beneficial to their growth. But if they could make home court, you know, they could potentially ruffle some feathers this postseason. As it currently stands, if things were to end today, they'd be away at the moment to the Knicks. But if they can, you know, get a home court matchup against, you know, a Knicks, a Philly, a Pacers, or a Heat, you know, I wouldn't discount them altogether. So very exciting there. Exciting to see with them currently they currently have 18 games to go across their regular season. They probably need to win, you would say, 11 to 12 of those to really ensure they lock up home court advantage. But I believe they can do it. So fair play to the Magic this season. Excited to see what they can do in their postseason run. But regardless, take nothing away from what's been a fantastic season for them. Fourth and finally, my fourth storyline is, will Jimmy Butler ignite during the last part of the season gearing up for the playoffs? Now, we've seen time and time again that after the All-Star break, Jimmy Butler takes his game to another level. Last year before the All-Star break, he was averaging 21 points per game. After the All-Star break, it jumped to 25 points per game. Likewise, this season, prior to that All-Star break in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago, averaging 21 points per game. Again, after the All-Star break, he's jumped back up to 25 points per game. Now, he's just one of those players that can just flip the switch and lock into a top 5 to 10 player in the league when the league and the season matters most. Last year, it coincided with the run to the NBA Finals there for the Heat. If I was to back it in, I don't believe that'll happen this season. But whilst Jimmy's there, you'd certainly be silly to discount them altogether. I just love it. I think the Heat are most exciting, most dynamic, and most dangerous when Jimmy is attacking the basket. And actually being that proficient scorer that he can be. But he's a player that just times it so well, builds into the season. And then, as I said, when it matters most, he can just lock in and engage. And I've no doubt that he'll do that again this season. With the Heat team that they currently possess with Bam there, and Terry Rozier coming into the squad, again, a team to be feared, but a team I don't think will quite make the waves of last season. They'll need Jimmy Butler to be at an MVP level if they are to do so, which is certainly not so outside the realms of possibility, but probably not that likely. Nevertheless, excited to see him put the Heat on their back and see how far they'll go this season. Guys, there concludes my four storylines that I'm most excited to see play out over the course of the last couple of weeks of the regular season. Just to recap that, I had the battle for the one seed in the West. I had the MVP race. I had Orlando, can they potentially clinch home court advantage? And then I had, will Jimmy Butler ignite across the last part of the regular season leading into the playoffs there? I'm super excited, guys. There's four reasons that I think are going to make the last couple of weeks must watch. Would love to hear what you thought of those ones. Would love to hear if you had any of your own there. So continue to have that, keep those conversations going, guys. Hit me up on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok to discuss everything ball. Can't wait to speak to you all again next week. Have a phenomenal week and enjoy what is shaping up, as I've just alluded to, what is shaping up as a huge week of basketball with a huge, huge ramifications across both conferences. Every game's must watch, guys, and I will break it all down with you again next week. Till then, take care.